Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and fare thee well, JoJo Fridays. They were fun while they lasted. And with me, I have...
Remember last week when I said Poppy had the most job security in NXT? I wasn't serious about that. What the fuck, Vince?
And...
It's been quite a week, huh?
Yeah, you know.
It's Wednesday.
Yeah, just every tragedy you could think of. Higher rising death cases, corporate mergers, Bleach coming back. It's just a nightmare everywhere. God, that's gonna be the weirdest fucking comeback of the 2020s, ain't it?
Yep.
Both in anime and manga form. Whoever's greenlighted that is Shueisha, good luck recouping that investment. See, that shit bombed! How is it coming back?
Because they have no big titles. All the big titles they have are either over, or they're about to be over. And obviously they don't want to merge Jump Plus into Jump Proper for some stupid reason.
Yeah, but like that would be better though, because Jump Plus has Spy X Family, and Kaiju No. 8, and eventually Chainsaw Man.
Yep. Yep.
But anyway, that's all for a different podcast. Good luck with that.
We're so behind on a whole lot of shit because shit keeps piling up. And I'm going to be in the middle of doing several days worth of editing because, for a very missed summer season, we went 4 hours, all six of us.
What the fuck?
4 hours of just... Wow, was there really nothing this season?
Not much to give a shit about.
And yet, we always find a way to go over everything way too deep.
And some of the people are suddenly thinking, what can we do? What can we do for fun? Who's this random podcaster? Oh, what does any podcast? I don't know. That's fucking dead by now. That's our biggest news ever.
Next week, we'll talk about it next week. Let me just get through this monster of a show first, please. I'm working on a time crunch anyway.
Yeah, you know, you gotta talk about the summer season and also finally roast George Gameface.
Yeah.
Kind of sad we haven't heard from that guy in weeks. I miss that guy.
Yeah, pretty
I'm still
much.
Mad he never blocked me.
Yeah. Damn. Also, damn, 4 hours. I stopped doing that time season shit because, like, yeah, I'm not writing no more shit. Even on the sequels, like, yeah, just, you know.
Yep.
Damn.
Anyway, here we are, episode 233. And, how's everyone's week been going?
Nothing to report. No movies. No much of anything except the usual daily routine. So, I'll diverge from my stuff and talk about other stuff that we're not going to get deep into today. I'm pretty sure if you look high enough at the top of Mercedes-Benz Stadium, you will still find Kanye West hovering above there, waiting to pounce on Drake for some stupid reason.
Good lord.
Yeah, because that album, even though there was another listening party that happened on Apple Music last Thursday... did not drop again. So I guess we're going to try again maybe this week, according to an iTunes pre-order listing that says August 14th or something like that. I'm not entirely sure. I don't know what's going on with Kanye. I really don't. The guy's lost his marbles. He's lost his marbles 3,000 miles away, and now he's hovering atop Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta on frickin' wires and shit. Like,
oh boy. Oh, in a title on Twitter, don't call the album classic. Ain't heard of it yet. I mean, I know you put the feature list on it like a couple of days ago. Was like, okay, those are good features and all.
Yeah, as it turns out,
we ain't heard them yet.
As it turns out, we are the only three people on the internet who does not give a fuck about Kanye West anymore. So, that's why we're not super into all this, vaporware hype.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a until the album shows up on streaming sites, I'm holding my breath.
Yeah.
Well, not literally, but yeah.
I'm pretty sure Kanye would be literally holding his breath if he could.
Multiple delays, patches. Now all we need is microtransactions.
And Keanu Reeves.
EA, get it? Kie Anu Reeves. I thought it was funny.
Oh boy.
Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, let's see. Work was different this week because one of my bosses, he took a hint of what he got.
Oh.
Yeah, and most of the night staff got to get quarantined, so it's just. And like for me, I'm a morning shift guy, which must be lucky. I didn't get it, but yeah, it's just me and 10 other people had to cover it all. Which, that sounds fun. It doesn't. But we had to change that shit. Had to open later than usual. Had to close early than usual. But that's working shit.
Yeah.
As for movies, on the other hand, I did see one. Of course, it's THE Suicide Squad. And yes, it is that fucking good. I'm not shocked, but kind of sad that it didn't do well. Or at least not as good as we thought it would be, that movie's fucking great. I mean, I think DC getting James Gunn to do this shit was the right call, because like, this might be better than most of the Marvel shit he did. Then again, I get why, because you know they do shit for the family and shit. This is definitely like, it's fucking gory and funny and violent.
Those are some of my favorite things. Still need to watch that movie.
Yes, you should. This be saying yes, you should watch that movie.
Anyway, as for me, well, not really much of anything other than I wrapped up the semester, got a good grade in my class, played a lot of Persona 4 Golden, and that is pretty much about it. Now, of course, it's time for us to dive into the usual business of this podcast, starting, of course, with the new song discussions for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along and pick up some new tunes for your weekly playlists and, you know, all that business. Starting right up at the top here, so apparently the guys in 3Teeth seem to have a potential new album on the horizon. No title or release date, just it'll happen when it happens. And with this new song of theirs here called Paralyze, much like the guys in Bring Me the Horizon, they have decided to team up with none other than Mick Gordon to handle production on the track here. Which, I wonder if there's some kind of inevitability with, industrial metal stuff and Mick Gordon producing your shit. I mean, he's gotta be doing something, since I don't think he has any game projects on the horizon, unfortunately. And, the production, it does sound pretty quintessentially 3Teeth and Mick Gordon. The synthetic tones, the instrumentation's all there. The very, like, stuttery electronic syncopation, the extremely garbled vocal production a la, you know, Cell Dweller or something. And, of course, there's a guest verse from Horror, or HO9909, being, for lack of a better term, 3 edgy 5 me. You know how it is with those edgesters like that. It's solid enough if you're into that kind of thing. You know, the production definitely puts it a little bit higher than your usual 3Teeth jam. Not bad.
Oh boy, nihilistic industrial rap metal that just blares on and on and on. This is just trying way too hard to fill the edge quota, and I'm not into this. There's no engagement for me for this. All it does is just leave me feeling uninterested and bored. It's the same problem I have with friggin' Ice Nine Kills and about 5 other, you know, quote-unquote edgy bands. Like, this whole phase has come and gone. It's a thing of the past. Just get some dynamics going on, guys. This is just boring. But on the exact opposite of boring,
Veering back into the realm of Fire Tools, whose new album Eternal Home is coming out October 15th, we have a new track here titled Lello Burbs, with the full title proper having, you know, those less than symbols, which you can only see that full title on the Bandcamp because I guess YouTube's titling system doesn't allow for that, which I don't know. I don't understand how YouTube coding works, but that's what it said in the description for the video. So, yeah. Anyway, for the track itself, it is absolute grindy, noisy AF blast beats pretty much throughout its entire run. Definitely the most aggressive AF song that Fire Tools has put out in, you know, a while. Just, that is constant through the whole track. And it's only really like a minute 50 seconds or so. The blast beats picking up in speed and rhythm, with maybe a little bit of a glimmer of those, you know, vaporwave crystalline synthesizers, you know, over top the last 30 seconds or so of the track, you know?
Yep, you have to wait builds of this. It doesn't have a lasting effect at all in much short time. It's like you say, hey, you got your, it's like, hey, you got your ambient in my metal drumming. Hey, you got your metal drumming in my ambient. Clash like, yeah, like one big burst of energy, one big burst of energy.
Yeah. Now, if you're going to go into the realm of caustic industrial noise, you have to be very avant-garde with it and blend in all kinds of elements. Namely, 80s synth pop with frenetic programmed blast beats. It's just, it's weird, but it works.
Now, on the opposite end, in terms of stuff that doesn't work, time to put the snob hat on. So, in a couple weeks' time, well, about a week and a half or so from when you're listening to this, there will be the brand new Def Heaven album, Infinite Granite. And we're now up to single number 3 in Blur, which is, again, yet another reminder that the band is straying far from their, you know, post-shoegazy black metal roots into just pure on shoegaze, you know, because they were already so good at that first thing that they might as well do the other thing. And, like, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to say by song number 3 of this style. I mean, it just kind of vamps repetitiously on this shimmery set of chords throughout its verses and, you know, choruses. The drums kind of vibing the way that they do, holding down the groove, everything sounding very pristine, melancholic, nostalgic, and sad. And look, I just don't care. There's so much better shoegaze out there. These guys are boring. God damn.
And yet you keep putting the songs in the document for us.
Call it search engine optimization, and I don't even know what the fuck any of those words mean.
for what it's worth, I'm still digging these vibey, atmospheric post-metal tones that they're going for. It's just a good track to just chill out to and lean back on, and that's something that I think a lot of us could use a lot more of nowadays, but then again, I suppose we can go to the exact opposite of that again.
Yes, we could. Right back into a minute and a half of just furious, grindy heaviness. This time, once again, complicating my ability to form a year-end list in a year when I thought it would be easier. But yeah, the guys in Full of Hell have announced that they have a new studio album coming out October 1st called Garden of Burning Apparitions. And of course, we have the lead single here, Industrial Messiah Complex. And this is, of course, some very prime, filthy-ass heavy shit, with its furious assaulting riffs, that triplet descending note line, and the weird stuttering echo and decay of the guitars and the harsh vocals halfway through, like there's a creature stalking you out in the woods, with some harder riffs to close things out on. This short, sweet banger of grimy, filthy, grindy noise. Hell yeah, this is what I'm talking about. Full of Hell.
Well, that sure was 90 seconds of madness, I'll give it that much, but I have nothing to say about this. I really don't.
Well, since we've already talked about two metal bands that have been on the Adult Swim Singles program in the past, Now it's time to move on to the next entry into the Adult Swim Singles Program 2021. Song number 14, but it is not a metal one. I could have worded that segue better. Anyway, so a bit of background here. The main credited artist for this track is Christina Van Zoo. I'm probably pronouncing that poorly. A composer and filmmaker who was born in Kansas City, Missouri, but is currently based in, you know, Brussels, Belgium. So far, she's released about, like, 5 albums, most of which are orchestral ambient music, usually accompanied with some kind of a short film. And that's pretty much what I was able to glean from the internet. So the track here is called Régime de Fleurs, and there are some guest features from some other, you know, Belgian musicians. In this case, we have vocalist Lieselotte de Wild. A Belgian singer, as well as some backing instrumentation from Neil Later and Margaret Hermont, founders of a collective of classically trained musicians based out of Belgium called, well, the Echo Collective. Presumably no relation to Echo and the Bunnymen. Now, as for the song itself, based on that description, it does sound very much like a kind of mood piece that you would expect in some kind of, like, foreign prestige film. It's this very melancholic drifting piano melody, this kind of blaring horn off in the distance that kind of sounds like, you know, the siren of an ambulance or some other kind of emergency vehicle driving past. The vocals kind of, you know, just poking their head in and out, you know, whenever they do. Again, as a compositional piece, it's solid. I certainly get like a vibe and can picture the imagery of whatever it's trying to convey. Yeah, I dig it.
Yeah, it's pretty good as well. In case you didn't know, in case you're up to your French, fleurs mean flower, so maybe the whole thing is called Flowers Regime, which, okay, that does sound like something you hear at the type of a foreign movie that might be something differently, I don't know, but yeah, this is something you would hear a Scorpion or something, but yeah, something like oyster the like oyster the ambient aesthetic, which I can nick with this, I can fuck with this,
right?
And now the opposite of that.
Yep. Speaking of things that presumably Mark can fuck with, care to tell us what's been going on with Rico Nasty as of late?
Oh yes. Oh, Miss Nasty. So it seems like we all know she got an upcoming mixtape coming up called RX, or, you know, prescription, which I'm guessing, you know, prescription shit. Yeah, you get it. But yeah, and it's got another joint out from that, which is called Bus. And how do you think of this song? Well, what did the kids call it? This shit buzzing. This boom shabby going like, and my niggas they gonna bust, which is her usual flaunting and how much of a bad she is, which is giving me like, I know she got some lyrics versus like the sugar trap chick, I invented it, little bitches just rented it, you bite me, you owe me percentages, but you making that much, then you making that much, I ain't gonna say too much, host hating, say I do too much. But okay, I can just say like she's on this shit, which I kind of be, which you kind of be doing well. Also, know she performed a line of Lollapalooza a couple weeks back.
Oh, right, she did perform that.
We had the song got the usual Rico Nasty vibe, which all right, which is, you know, very wild crazy and kind of chaotic, which I do like about it. But yeah, it's a pretty good joint.
It's all right for me. It's not my absolute favorite thing in the world. I think it's mostly a production thing. I don't know. I've heard better production on Rico Nasty jams, but the bars are solid. Maybe if this had more of a 100 Gex vibe, that would do it for me. But anyway, moving on to the next track here. Speaking of unfortunate things to come out in the past week. I'm pretty sure this is the first time we've ever had to talk about this band, I think, or at least the second. I didn't check, but we're talking about Guns N' Roses right now because these past couple of years didn't suck enough ass. So, flashback. Y'all remember the days of Chinese Democracy, that whole prolonged album cycle? The kind of thing that makes Kanye's bullshit seem like, you know, basic shit. All the delays, all the constant lineup switches between the Use Your Illusion albums and fucking 2008. That goddamn Dr. Pepper promotion.
What?
I still remember that.
Yeah. I'm just going to put my music snob card on the table here. I bought that album in 2008. I don't hate it. It's not great, but it's not terrible either. It's just sort of in the middle there.
It's such a why did this need to exist kind of album. Considering
probably
everything
because
that
of every kind of obligation, from producers to studios to session musicians to Dr. Pepper.
Oh, God. Yeah, Dr. Pepper. Yeah. Did anyone ever get Dr. Pepper from that album, by the way?
I know I didn't.
I didn't either. Fuck. I feel ripped off. But yeah, that's just such a... Like, for all that it took to get it out, just... That's all we got. But, apparently, there's a holdover from the myriad of sessions it took to make that album that we're talking about. So, the band recently played a couple live shows this past week where they played a new-ish song called Absurd, which originated as a track called Silkworms that was written by two of the band's keyboardists during the various sessions for Chinese Democracy. First time it ever surfaced was during live shows in 2001, and from there, that original track was only ever heard in bootleg form over the years, until it now appears as Absurd in studio form. And apparently this is the first track they've released in, like, however many decades that features, you know, some OG members like Axl Rose, Duff McKagan, and Slash. So I guess he found time from doing his duties as Wunter Slausch. If anybody remembers that reference. But it was a South Park thing. Back when I could stand
that
show.
Okay.
So yeah, talking about this particular track, the fuck is Axl Rose doing with his voice?
I think I have an explanation for this. It sounds like he's doing a cross between Danny Elfman and MC Ride.
Well, stop doing that, Axl Rose. You're not either of them. That effect just sounds like shit. And that honestly makes the song itself, instrumentally, is just kind of average. The guitar work sounds perfectly fine, especially in, like, the solos and everything. It sounds like Slash. But there's a lot of really awkwardly put together, like, back and forth dueling guitar rhythms that genuinely sound like whoever was playing them just that second remembered what their part was supposed to be. Or, like, the guitar battle against Slash in Guitar Hero 3 where you just fucked with his guitar track. But otherwise, the song is, you know, standard, you know, glam-ass rock, whatever the fuck that one clean bridge was. But yeah, just that fucking voice, it's like taking a Big Mac, not necessarily anything special, but it's a solid enough fast food hamburger, and like just drenching it in liquid shit. Fucking God.
So basically, one of those burgers where people just pour hot cheese all over it for no fucking reason.
I mean, I think I prefer hot cheese on a Big Mac over literal shit, but, you know, to each their own.
I can understand why this was left off of Chinese Democracy. This is roughly 75 seconds of material stretched to 3.5 minutes. And if your song is 3.5 minutes and needs to be stretched, because there's only one verse in here, and the first half of it is said 3 times in the song. This gives me a whole new appreciation for Chinese Democracy as a whole album. It's an Axl Rose solo album at the end of the day. Let's be real about it.
Yeah.
Because this is bad. Like, this is bad. This should have never been reemerged, let alone played live. Who asked for this, Axel? Come on.
Well, I guess they gotta find ways to make money and gain attention somehow. Moving on to the next track here of material that's actually properly new. So, coming off of the end of July with the release of Billie Eilish's second full-length album, it seems now is as good a time as any for Phineas, her brother and longtime producer of her material, to finally make waves with his own solo material, as he has announced his debut solo full-length album, Optimist, coming out October 15th. And to mark the announcement, we have the lead single from the album, A Concert 6 Months From Now, and let me just click play for a second. Oh no. Oh no. It's a white guy with an acoustic guitar song. Make it go away. It's oh, the shit. Worst kind of song. Isn't Ed Sheeran already enough?
I what mean, I'd take Phineas over Ed Sheeran any day.
Yeah, but just take the acoustic guitars away from the white guys. It's already bad enough that that's most of the song, but even worse is when it's vamping on just that super basic structure, and then there's literally 15 seconds of an actual full band, and I'm like, hey, this sounds pretty good. Oh, back to white guy being a hopeless romantic again. Just, why, Phineas? This is why you stick to producing. Because I don't want to hear you, you know, on a guitar whining about how you're hung up on an ex of yours, about the highs and lows of that relationship, and trying to hook back up with her to see her favorite band in concert at the Hollywood Bowl or something. Sorry, I know I sound like Todd here, but I really do not care much for this breed of song.
I mean, in some cases, it can work. It's all about the delivery, and for what it's worth, I'm digging the pop rock vibes here. Yeah, there was a whole lot of guitar work all around with that one, you know, vamp up section with the electric guitars coming in for a little bit. But it's all centered around Phineas's voice going all around with his range. It works well enough. But I will agree that we can all do with more concerts for sure. Don't fuck it up for us, everyone out there!
Yeah, we might be addressing that later on in this podcast.
Yeah.
And at the very least, White Guy with Acoustic Guitar is not the last note that we have to end this half of the podcast on. Instead, POC yep. singer with synthesizers, which has much more flavor to it. Now, you all might be familiar with a man called The Weeknd. Maybe you heard of him. Had a couple songs that were, you know, maybe kind of sort of big. Maybe you heard of him. But turns out that he is back on the grind again, as there's vague potential wordings of a new album coming on the horizon, or the dawn, as it were. And we even have a whole-ass brand new single here from him, which, if I recall correctly, the music video for it was supposed to screen in, like, I think IMAX theaters during, I want to say it was The Suicide Squad, I believe, but it couldn't happen because, yeah, we forgot to mention this about the Fire Tools video, but that and this music video too, epileptic seizure warnings.
It did not pass the Harding test, so it got pulled. Simple as that.
Sorry, we had to put Alex in this situation twice this week.
Don't worry, I avoided the video for Fire Tools, and I just listened to the song elsewhere, because, friendly reminder, I don't do well with strobe lights. I've had concussions in the past. It's fucked up my brain a little bit.
I swear to God, I did not intend for this to happen. It's just, the industry's weird like that. But, back to the topic of the actual song, which is called Take My Breath. And yes, once again, the synths, they are back, and they are stronger than ever, running some really great melodies in the background of the song, while being punctuated by, you know, denser bursts of synths. And while, you know, the previous single, you know, Blinding Lights, was very, you know, synth wavy kind of dance pop, this one has almost kind of more of a new wave thing going on with its really, you know, upbeat bass grooves and that kind of Eye of the Tiger-ish guitar intro thing that's like running throughout most of the song. Yeah, this one's a bop. This one fucking slaps.
Mm-hmm. 70s disco all over here. It's a grooving track. It's a bop. It's good stuff.
Yes, I mean, yes. I can definitely say that, The Weeknd would go more in this direction, which is very good. Going more and more the groovy disco shit. And the other sounds very, very fire. Courtesy of producer. Courtesy of course, we're just being like Oscar Holder and, of course, Max Martin. Still doing good shit. Keep it that way. I hope. But yeah, keep it that way. Yeah, keep it that way. And also, even though, one third of us can't see the video because of, you know, obvious reasons. Another thing, taking your breath away, which is like, the fool can't even breathe. Near the end, like, oh shit, like here's the one shot, like near the end where he's laying on the ground, everybody's dancing around. He's like, I can't breathe or some shit like that. Which, well, we just got guessing that one person took his breath. Yeah.
Yep, that's the Weeknd for you. But yeah, good stuff. Gotta keep an eye out for a potential new album.
Yeah.
That about does it for the new song discussion this week. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have some news here, so stay tuned. And we're back. Once again, for this news topic, we have to delve into the topic of the still ongoing pandemic that is going to be still ongoing indefinitely because of the vast, vast number of, let's be completely honest, unsympathetically stubborn hardasses. You know, your Rand Pauls, your Joe Rogans, your I urge everyone to get vaccinated from my deathbed because I refused it. Please feel bad for me. No. You make your bed, you lie in it. That's how it works.
That's your fault, bitch.
And of course, you know, people everywhere ramping up their efforts to, you know, cause and effect, as we say. It shouldn't have to be cause and effect, but unfortunately that seems like the only way we're going to get any closer to this. So of course there's searches and registrations for vaccinations, and of course various vaccine mandates, you know, from individual businesses, big and small. And even the folks at Live Nation are, trying, to some extent, to curtail the damages. Now, of course, this is following up news of Lollapalooza, and of course, you know, the city of New York requiring vaccinations for any and all indoor concerts. Live Nation is requiring that all of their employees in the United States be vaccinated by October in order to, you know, continue their employment with the company. And they will allow artists that are playing under shows that are being, you know, in conjunction with Live Nation, will have the ability to, you know, require either vaccinations or negative COVID tests for, you know, any and all attendees. Now, obviously, I'm not even sure how much the concert thing will go into effect, considering that with the surges in numbers, there's probably also going to be like a sudden and rash surge of concert cancellations and delays, which, I mean, that doesn't matter to me too much, if only for the reason that the one concert I was really looking forward to seeing this year, MCR's reunion tour, already was delayed into 2022, way before all this Delta bullshit happened, so it is what it is.
Okay. Here's why I have to come in. I am planning to see 3 concerts in the next couple of months, between The Buried and Me next month. I'm going to see Dream Theater here in Charlotte in December, and I'm flying to San Francisco in December to see Metallica. I don't want anyone fucking this up for me. And by anyone, I mean all of the stubborn assholes who, after 6 months, are still trying to come up with any cockneyed excuse they can to go, I don't know, I just need to do my own research, which usually involves, you know, going on Facebook and reading the first thing that comes up and saying, oh, okay, I'm going to read this at face value. too many people are reading bullshit at face value. And you know what happens when you do that? You end up in a hospital bed with a ventilator down your throat and you die. Every day, I'm seeing a story from Huffington Post, The Hill, Raw Story, all these websites. It's the same thing every time. It didn't have to be this way. Really fucking didn't.
But Alex, that would require me to accept the premise that other people might know more about certain things than I do. And that can't be the case. I'm subscribed to Joe Rogan on Spotify. And he said the doctors are all worried about cancel culture, which is why they're recommending vaccinations, because they don't want to get canceled. Which is the thing that grown-ups in this world apparently worry about. I swear to fucking God.
Yeah. We're still in hell, if you can't tell, and it really fucking sucks.
There are more important things in this world than your stupid internet pet peeves, you dumb bodybuilding fuck.
Yeah. One other reason why this is going to be a bigger issue as the months go on, it's very simple. It's why the city of New York is doing it, it's why airlines are doing it, and it's why local, state, and federal government offices are doing it. Liability. It's very simple. We shouldn't have to go this far, but we are because too many people didn't pay attention in their high school science class, or their middle school science class, or even their elementary school science class.
As our dear Alex over here always succinctly puts it, learn how umbrellas work.
Yeah. If you don't know how umbrellas work, how the fuck are you living?
Moral of the story is, there's people who know what the fuck they're talking about because, yeah, they know more than you, meaning, they gotta figure this shit more than you. You're like, well, I don't even know, doesn't know what we're talking about. And then he has one of 6 feet under. You dumb motherfuckers.
But, now time to move on from that to, some streaming news. Speaking of fuckery of a different kind. So, y'all remember, I'm actually not sure how you pronounce this name. I know who the person is, but is it Aaliyah? Yeah, Aaliyah. I vaguely remember her. Weirdly enough, the only song I ever really knew from her for sure, I was today years old when I learned it wasn't from one of her studio albums, it was that song Try Again from the Romeo Must Die soundtrack.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
You know? You learn something new every day. But for the longest time, the only music of hers that's been available on digital streaming platforms has been her 1994 debut, Age Ain't Nothing But a Number. You know, kind of a really strange fat toy, considering that you think, with how long she had unfortunately been passed away, about 20 years or so at this point. Yeah, it was 2001, so 2021. Yeah, 20 years. More of her music would be available. For the longest time, pretty much all of her master recordings for her catalog have been under the control of the label Black Iron Recordings, and more specifically, her uncle, Barry Hankerson. But about a year ago, it seemed like Aaliyah's estate has been, you know, in communication with various record labels. However, the estate and Hankerson are apparently in kind of a back and forth, you know, kind of weird, he said, she said sort of thing. Basically, according to Hankerson, he's moving forward with a deal with Empire to bring the entire Blackground, you know, music catalog to digital streaming platforms, which specifically includes Aaliyah's final two studio albums and two posthumous compilations, as well as a multitude of other releases from the likes of Timbaland, Toni Braxton, and JoJo. JoJo's.
Yeah.
So, One in a Million is set to drop on streaming on August 20th, and her self-titled album 2001 on September 10th. And then, of course, the Romeo Must Die and Exit Wound soundtracks coming out September 3rd, and the compilations I Care For You and Ultimate Aaliyah coming out October 8th. And in addition to that, Hankerson is working towards an album of unreleased material, which supposedly includes features from the likes of Drake, Future, Neo, Snoop Dogg, and you.
Wait, what? Okay, yeah, I got a problem with this. This is something of a certain album I listened to this month that I'll get to this later on this week, but yeah, this is not a good call when you basically make a promise album, you basically make a post-office album, but you just add a bunch of features on it just to make a quick buck. Which,
where have we heard this before?
Yeah. Again, I got more to say. Again, I got more to say on the album roundup.
So, while I suppose it would be a good thing for the increased availability of her music on digital streaming platforms, I don't know. It sounds like there's a lot of conflicting reports between, Pankerson, the estate, and the label. Just a whole lot of back and forth. I don't even know who to trust at this point. Plus, seriously, a fucking Chris Brown feature? Seriously? Why?
I blame Timbaland for it.
Oh, God, that makes so much sense. But, yeah, so, assuming there's not any kind of serious lawsuits on behalf of the estate, as it were, you can enjoy those music on those platforms, on those dates listed. Again, mm-hmm. Assuming there's no lawsuits from the estate, but yeah, you never know.
There have been some very dicey words from the family estate, and, That could lead to a conflict. We're not sure, but just speaking personally, I would love to hear these Aaliyah albums in full. I really would.
Yeah, I mean, and knowing that the rest of the labels, artists who I'm guessing they have lawsuits with them, and hoping for them too, considering we got shit from Timbaland and Magoo, and. I even heard that I think we're gonna see. I don't think the estate is gonna down with the streaming, which is kind of shady because it's like you can't give them to the estate, the people that I don't know. This what's going on about this year is like on one hand, we get the rest of the catalog, at least one that wasn't tainted by you know who back in the day. Yeah, this shit, but. And off the subject, well, I ain't heard Rumble's Dad soundtrack and X-Wing soundtrack in a long ass while. Which might be extra sad, because I remember, DMX is in those movies too, and that's gonna be extra sad as well. Fuck.
Yeah,
it is what it is. But, with, that out of the way, that concludes the news topics, and now we just have to move on to the last little thing here, which is the new album releases for the week of August 13th, 2021. Not a lot, but I'm sure some people find something to listen to, if you ignore one particular album.
Which apparently is now maybe coming out on Sunday for some reason. I don't know.
When it comes out.
Pretty much. But starting from the top, we have the newest studio album from the band Quicksand with Distant Populations. If you're one of those cool Nick Nocturnal fan type people, you'd probably have an eye on the new EP from Lorna Shore with And I Return Nothingness. If you like yourself some deathcore and sick breakdowns. Speaking of albums worth ignoring, I might check out the Lorna Shore thing, but The Killers, new album Pressure Machine, I'm ignoring that. And of course, last but certainly not least, the latest collaboration from Boldy James and The Alchemist with Bo Jackson.
Oh, he ain't the me.
Now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, Aura of Azure, where I just chime in whenever I feel like about stuff. You know the drill.
Mark, what about you?
Okay, Twitter, Matt Tavern Media, my site, Mind Habit One. What I did this week, review this. Okay, I reviewed the Suicide Squad. Again, good movie. Check it out. Please check it out.
Yep. I will have to check it out soon. And as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. Be sure to email me, robert@surrealresolution.com for, you know, questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up over the weekend, so subscribe. Hit the bell tab so you're, you know, notified whenever something goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter @SurrealRezo, like us on Facebook, visit the website SurrealResolution.com for, you know, this podcast, podcast O&A, written articles, all of that good stuff. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat if you want to discuss the ever-so-exciting world of corporate consolidation in anime. And, you know, shout-out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, that'll about do it for this week's episode. We'll, of course, be back later on down the week with the album roundup for July 2021. Keep an ear out for that. And until next time... Seriously, how do you write a new Bleach chapter without including my boy Chad? What the fuck?
For shame.